I would do is go to Acts 2, verse 12. Acts 2. And verse 12. And this is kind of the theme I want to have in the time allotted to me. Acts 2 and verse 12. You know, here that they've received the Holy Spirit. Everybody's hearing them speak in their own language. And, you know, there's an amazing miracle taking place here. It's not only in the speaking, but as we see in the listening. Verse 12. So they were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What could this mean?" Others mocking said, "They're full of wine." They're just drunkards. They're out there, been drinking all day. So here, this marvelous miracle that we all know about. The room was filled with the wind, and the mighty wind, and a rushing wind, as the scripture says. The tongues of fire appeared. And then they went out and they spoke to the people in the language, and everybody heard in their own language. This miracle took place. And yet there's two categories of folks there listening. One saying, I wonder what all this means. And number two, a bunch of drunkards. So some had ears to hear and were at least hearing something, wondering about it. And others saw the same event and saw it just as a bunch of craziness. Just a bunch of craziness. We all had relatives who think we're out of our loving minds. See? So, you know, that's because they don't yet have the ears to hear or eyes to see and so forth. Again, the real miracle here is not just in the speaking, but in the hearing. There were folks there for the first time who were seeing and hearing something, and they thought, this is significant. I don't know what it means. And those are the ones that God was beginning to call. So let's pick up here in verse 15. They said, well, they're either mocking, they're full of wine. Another said, I wonder what this is about. And this is really the sermon title, what could this mean? So verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to the men of Judah, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only 9 a.m. In other words, this means 9 a.m. in the morning. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And they're seeing that happen in part. When Cubitt gave a presentation at the conference talking about the same verse. And I said, oh, good. He said the same thing I said. And this is a type. But the final fulfillment is yet to happen. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions and old men shall dream dreams. And on my man servants and my maid servants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days. So men and women were speaking, and others were hearing it as well. And they prophesied or had inspired speaking, in other words. And I will show wonders in heaven above and the signs in the earth beneath. Well, they saw some signs in it. They saw the fire above their head and the flame above their head. They heard the wind. And they saw and heard the speaking in tongues. Okay? But they didn't see this. Blood and fire, vapor and smoke and sun shall be turned to darkness. They didn't see that. That's not until at the end of the Great Tribulation. The signs, the heavenly signs. Now, I'm going to move down here to verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God. God knew how this was going to play out. And actually had his hand in playing it out. It wasn't hard for God to know that the Roman authorities would get rid of him for political reasons. And it wasn't hard for him to know that the corrupt council, Pharisees would play along with it. You know, God knew this would happen. For you have taken the lawless hands and have crucified and put to death whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. What's one of the meanings of this day is the resurrection. Promise of the resurrection, the first fruits, when the first fruits are harvested. There's more than just one meaning, as you know. So, again, the main point here is there are some who can hear, and there's others who cannot. And sometimes that's even found to be true in the church. You have people who attend for years and really don't get it. And others who are new, and they grow and they understand it. So, you know, we just have to Well, we talk about how we can address that issue in a minute. Let's go to Matthew 13 here real quickly. There's some folks who just get to a certain point and they just don't seem to get past that. And it could be for whatever reason, but they just don't. Matthew 13 and verse 15. This is again Jesus quoting Isaiah and the hard-heartedness of the people of his time, as well as back in the time of Isaiah, says, "For the heart of this people has grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears." That means they healed spiritually. Thus they could hear, but they were hard of hearing. But a miracle was taking place in that some were being given the ability to hear. They still had to respond. They're not going to be forced to obey, but they had to respond. And others simply didn't get it at all. We're aware of that. The thing I would like to talk about today is how do we talk about Mr. Hewitt did, how do we get growth? We don't want just numbers for numbers. God has to call people. God has to call folks. And it's His job to call folks. But what is our part as we think about Pentecost today and what has happened? You know, it's God's Holy Spirit that gives understanding. So God has to open people's minds. And it takes, to have that understanding, you have the spiritual ears to hear and so forth. Matthew 12, we're back in Matthew 12 and 39, verse 39. Matthew 12, 39. And he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." So that's the only sign you're going to get. And that isn't the sign. They wanted some big miracle. And if they had gotten a big miracle, they did see a lot of miracles. People raised from the dead and all that, but they just wrote it off. They said, well, when the disciples, God has done great miracles through them. They said, well, there's no doubt that He's done great miracles, but we're going to tell them not to do any more in His name. So the miracle weren't going to change. Their attitudes were what needed to be changed. So they couldn't hear, and others could because they were being called. Now on this day, we're also again reminded of the resurrection. Let's go back to Acts 2 where we were before. Acts 2. Acts 2. I forgot to thank the special music and the offertory music people. I always do that. I wrote it right down and I forgot. It was nice. Thank you. And I'm glad to see, you know, if you're doing special music or whatever it is and you mess up a little bit, laugh at yourself and go on. And it was fine. I do that all the time when I speak. So, and really, it's really enjoyable to hear live piano. You don't really hear that much anymore. All right. I could play a little, then you'd be glad not to hear live piano. It's a lot of work to learn that. It's a lot of work. Okay, Acts 2:29. Get back to business. Acts 2:29. "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you, the patriarch David, that he's both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day." It's interesting. Just a few weeks earlier, Peter was denying Christ when a young girl challenged who he was. Remember? On the night of the... when Christ was being beaten, says, "Well, you're a Galilean. You've got the same accent. You sound like a West Texan." And, you know, and he denied Christ. And here he is now emboldened with the Holy Spirit. And look at what he says. "Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ who sits on his throne." He's very bold now, in just a matter of a few weeks. That humbling process he went through when God humbled him that night when he denied Christ three times. And we don't have time to go to the context there, but you can look it up yourself. When he looked, remember after he denied three times, he and Christ have to look at each other at the same time. That had just been devastating. And then he went out and wept. But he repented, and now he's being filled with the Holy Spirit. And you see here, not a man who's equivocating, but who has the power of the Spirit of God working with him. Verse 31, "He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, and his soul was not left, or his body was not left in Hades, nor shall his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He poured out that which you now see and hear. He's poured out the Spirit to us. And he's being very bold about it. For David did not ascend to the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly. Again, it's amazing. A few weeks have passed. That this Jesus whom you crucified, see, both Lord and Christ, you see, this Jesus Christ whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ, that's who he is. So I was struck, I said, Lord and Christ. So I looked at the word Lord in the Greek. Since Andy's not here, I had to go look it up. It's means supreme in authority. 2962 in the concordance. He's Lord, supreme in authority. Christ is the anointed. Actually, shows kind of like a smearing of the oil of anointing. They anoint the king, if you will. They would smear oil on him. We don't do that now. You imagine all the women get mad at us when we smeared oil on their hair. But anyway, the idea here is that the anointed. Christ means anointed. A consecrated office. Okay? He has a consecrated office. He's been anointed to the office. So the word means a lot that we might think about. So, with that in mind, let's go to one more place and then we'll put these three together. Let's go to John 13:13. John 13 and verse 13. You call me teacher, that's right, and Lord, there's that word again, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord, the same word there, your supreme authority, and also now the word teacher's interjected here, have washed your feet, you ought to also wash one another's feet. So he's saying, I'm your teacher, and I'm your Lord, and I'm telling it. So he's saying, I am your teacher, I am the supreme teacher in a consecrated office. That's what Lord and Savior, Lord and Christ put together really means. So when you look at Acts 2 and verse 29, where did I go here? Acts 2, not 29, verse 36. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly, and they would know this when because they would understand Greek, that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both supreme in authority, with a consecrated office. See, he's supreme in authority and a consecrated office. That's who he is. That's how bold he was. And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. This is the second half of my sermon. The first part of the people would say, what does all this mean? The second half is, if you will, entitled, they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what do we do? That's the second half. Okay, now what do we do? We, you say, have crucified the anointed teacher in this high consecrated office. We've killed him. What do we do? You must repent. And so the answer is repent, verse 38. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, with the knowledge of who he is, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit just as they have. And they were speaking boldly in that way. For the promise is to you, the you is referring to the Jews and also to the people who are right there, but the Jews in general and the Israelites, and to your children, and to all those who are far off, even as the Lord your God shall call. Again, this being far off is referring to as we see here in Ephesians 2:13, let's go to Ephesians 2:13. But now Christ Jesus, you kind of know more about what that name means, the anointed, consecrated office. He's also the teacher. All these things that we talked about. You once were far off, talking to Gentiles, have been made near by the blood of Christ. So it's the same reference to what we've been reading before. Same reference we've been reading before. Now let's go back to John 6. We don't want to lose the understanding that God has to call people. We can't go out on the street and just bring people to church. We've heard we have to be examples. That's true. We want to be best we can live a way of life that exemplifies what Christ taught. We do that with imperfections, of course, but we strive to do that. But God still has to call folks. So what is our part in that process? So many times, we'll pay for the magazine, which is okay, and we do all those things. We took up an offering today, which is wonderful. That's part of the process, but there's something else we really need to do here and tie it in with the Day of Pentecost. Acts 6 and verse 43. He had just told them they don't have to eat my body, drink my blood, and he says, I am... You have to eat me and drink me, and they didn't like it. And Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one, remember now, he was saying, you've got to eat my body, drink my blood, and he didn't explain it. He didn't really explain it until Passover. We've talked about that many times. I hope I told you right. John 6:44. Have I said it right? What did I say? I know, I pass off people kind of that headlight look. Okay. John 6. No, yeah, John 6, 44. You're supposed to know what I mean, not what I say. But here's the truth. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Remember one time we did the example of the two powerful magnets? We put them up here, and we had something, I don't remember exactly, but they would never touch, and you could just do this. I think it's so strong, those magnets are so strong, if we lay it on something, I don't remember how we did it now. Hopefully you do. And you could move the magnet without them touching because it would just be that force field, that magnetic field there. I always think of that something like God's Spirit. It's like it's an analogy, okay? Like a magnetic field drawing us. And you're going, ugh. You know, if you're fighting your calling. And we've talked about how I fought my calling and maybe you fought your calling. And, you didn't want to do it. And God said, shut up. I want you to do it. He's not going to make us. He's not going to force us. But he can make life pretty miserable. And then you still have to make a choice. You still have to make a choice. And then we realize what a privilege it is to be called. I wonder why we're so slow to get to the party. But anyway, so verse 43. No one can come to me unless the Father who has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. So if an all-encompassing God wants to call you, he's going to work with you. Most of us will be dead and gone when Christ comes back. It's okay. It's okay. It's a process. It is written in the prophets, it shall be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. It is a miracle from God the Father to call somebody into the church. So what is our part on the Day of Pentecost? There's many things, but one thing I think we should focus on, Mr. Kubik talked about what the church wants to do and try to not just grow for growth's sake. But we should really be praying. There are tens of thousands of people getting the magazine, listening to the radio program and the television program. Are we really praying for God to open their minds and convict them and bring them to repentance? Remember, what shall we do? First of all, they're going to ask, what does this mean? We've probably all known people who've gotten, at one time, Plain Truth Magazine or the Good News Magazine, whatever, for years and years and years and years. And they didn't do anything with it. You say, well, God wasn't calling them, and that's probably true. But maybe we didn't ask God with enough fervor. Father, please, when people read the material, give them a conviction, give them a hunger to pursue and look for the truth. And here they are reading it. So the one problem we really have, it's not the only one, but one of the problems we have in our culture today is it's a blessing and a curse, that internet. And people can pick and choose a sort of religion a la carte. I like what this guy teaches, and I like what this guy teaches, and I let on. And in the Church of God group, sometimes we get into that same notion. It's some of this a la carte stuff. But again, no matter what, we can pray that God would really begin to open people's minds. I think one area to do that is to ask God to really help folks who once were with us and have left. And that God would give them a conviction to come back. Again, I didn't quite finish my thought. In our time, in our age, I keep forgetting what I'm going to say. What was I going to say? Oh, and I asked other pastors this, and they said they've been running into it too. New people tend to come now, and they stay until they realize we don't agree with them. Then they leave. You and I came because we're all old and gray. Well, some of you anyway. You came because you read the literature and you, boy, I want to go and learn more. So you came to church so you could learn more. But our age today is, I'm coming, more and more you see this, I come to hear what you have to say. And when I find out you don't agree with me, I'm gone. So we have to ask God to really give them a conviction, help us to grow deeper too. Where we need to grow more, we need to do that. It's a dynamic process. Let's ask God, what does all this mean? We need to pray more for that God would open people's minds. And it's up to God to call, not us. It's up to God to open people's minds, not ours. And to bring them to the truth. See? And to bring them to the truth. That's what we should be doing. That's one of the takeaways, shall we say, from this sermon, I hope, from this holy day, is that we need to be thinking about that from those who are far off and those that are close. All right, now let's go to John 6. I hope I said John 6. And we're still there. Verse 61. Let me just start at verse 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying, you eat my body, drink my blood," that saying. "This is a hard saying, who can understand it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured, they were complaining about this. He said to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life." You know, what if I die and I go back? Because he's been telling them this and that, and they're not getting it. "It is the Spirit who gives life, and the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are words of Spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe." And of course, he's talking about Judas. So he's again saying, this is a calling. And if someone is truly being called of God, we need to ask God, really help them stir up. If somebody comes in contact with us, you know, and they say, "What do you believe and why?" Do your best to answer. Obviously, but we have a lot of booklets and different things like that. But the key thing is that God has to open their minds to understand. God has to open their minds to understand. And that's something we can do every day. Ask God, help these people, the thousands, tens of thousands who get the magazine or listen to the radio program or whatever, that they'll listen and respond and grow. And in the process, ask God to help us to grow deeper in our understanding, that we will grow individually and collectively as a family to grow in that way. Acts 2, here's another takeaway for today. Acts, the second chapter. Verse 40, Acts 2, verse 40, all this happened on or right about the days. Verse 40, right around this day. "And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.'" I think the King James says, "Come out of this untoward world." We don't talk like that. We don't talk like that anymore. So, but come out of this world. That's one another takeaway. And that's a takeaway for us. As we heard in the earlier sermon, the world is constantly just dogging our heels. I had to stop and think when Robert was talking about his struggle with cigarettes. I remember Leo telling me he had struggles with cigarettes, and he had to pray about that. And he says, "You know, I tried to quit a couple of times, and I got so hard to live with, the ears said, 'Just have a cigarette.'" You know, you just hear him saying that. But he, like Robert did, he just prayed to God, you know, "Take the desire away from me." He fasted about it, and he did. And we've got a lot of good stories from those who have gone on, but good examples to follow. Hey, I just thought of that. Sorry about that. But I could hear him telling that story with that grin he'd have. Okay, Acts 2, verse 40 again. "And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this untoward or from this perverse generation.'" That's our takeaway, one of them for today. Come out of the world. "Then those who gladly received his words." You see, there were some who had to hear. The hearing to hear. The eyes to see. They were the ones saying, "What's this about?" And the ones who just blew it off, they're a bunch of drunks. They just walked off. And here are these miracles that just taken place. But they didn't have ears to hear, eyes to see. See, they didn't have it. "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." Again, God is establishing the New Testament church, adding to that. Our point is not numbers. But we want to ask God, if you're calling someone in this area, please, you know, reading the literature, bring them to repentance. Help open their mind to understand what they're reading and not just read words. You can get commentaries people write into the magazine that, well, this is really a great article on Christmas. And they still keep it. They don't get it. They just don't get the point. They just don't understand. But ask God to give them a conviction and a hunger to start looking for, what do I do? And then God will bring them to the next point. Repent and be baptized. Well, where do I go? I need to go find where I've been learning these truths. So I think that's one of our takeaways. So as we wrap this up, let's go to Ephesians 4. Again, we need to be out of the building by 5. Just remind you. Ephesians 4. In verse 17. Ephesians 4, verse 17. Ephesians is a very deep book. It really is. You just really get into it. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, their blinding see, because of the hardening of their heart. They've been cut off from God for generation after generation after generation. And of course, it can apply to Israelites too, but here they're talking to Gentiles. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to licentiousness, to work all ungodliness and greediness. They no longer understand what's wrong and what's evil. And we see that, we heard about it already, more and more in our culture. What was it? 8-year-old killed his sister? Somebody killed another person yesterday for, how's the polite way of saying it, letting out gas. Killed him. Spend the rest of his life in jail. And probably, you know, so many people are pampered and coddled as children. And when they grow up, they have no concept of right and wrong. It's just, whatever I want, that's what I should get. You know, this kind of thing. Our whole culture, we're just losing it. It's sad, isn't it? All right. 4, verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him. So you've got to hear Him with your spiritual ears, if you've really heard what He's had to say. And have been taught by Him. See, it's God who teaches us, really. I don't teach you. I'm trying to be an instrument. But if you're understanding what I'm saying, it's God's teaching you. And if you're not getting it, well, you bring that up to God. I mean, it could be up to me, but maybe I'm not doing a very good job of that. But you want, all a human being is an instrument. I'm not the purveyor, if you will, I'm a carrier of it, I guess. But anyway, if you're going to have the perception and understanding, that comes from God. That comes from God. If indeed you've heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. Deceitful lust, they fool us into thinking. Our lust, when we satisfy them, they fool us into thinking we're satisfied, life is good, life is meaningful. Now, are good things bad to have? No. But if they're there to deceive us, we have to be careful. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's what today should help us to understand. To be renewed by receiving the Holy Spirit, asking God to renew us. Excuse me. Asking God to renew us through His Holy Spirit, that old man will continue to be put off. And that you may put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. See? Therefore, put away lying, each one speaking truth with his neighbor, for he remembers one of another. See, and he talks about how we deal with each other, how we talk to one another, and so forth and so on. So again, this is the day in which God has a lot of meaning for us, but He wants us to learn, one, what is this all about? It's about God calling folks, and that miracle. We need to ask God to open people's minds and to bring them to repentance. God wants us to be actively participating in that. To actively participate. Let's conclude by going to Acts 1. Again, we don't go out on the corner and bring folks in. That's not the point. Say, well, Father, you've got tens of thousands of magazines out there. You know, you stop thinking about the way God does things, not very cost effective, is it? Take seed and throw it out. You know, farmers, they're going to prepare the ground, they're going to work it, fertilize it, do all that stuff. But if you just see a farmer out there and he's just throwing seed, you can say, well, that guy's going to be out of a job here soon. But God doesn't do it that way. He doesn't do it. Anyway, it's interesting. Acts 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them, this is speaking of Christ, not to depart from Jerusalem. Now he's been resurrected. He's showing himself over the period of time from the resurrection to the day of Pentecost. But to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. And we read that in John 16 and 17. He's referring to the Holy Spirit. The promise of the Father is the Holy Spirit. He says, you're going to receive that from my Father. And we read about that already in Acts 2. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. The Holy Spirit will be immersed, if you will. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Right over their head. They didn't get it. You know? That's why I think, I'm resurrected. I will not lose it now. Okay? I will not lose it. You know, he's telling them, you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. La, la, la. Is today the time the kingdom of God comes? Yeah. And it's okay. And he said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, i.e., it's not your business. And how many times have people tried to predict? He's Christ supposed to come back here before sundown. Some folks. And it isn't going to happen. It's going to hurt folks. Okay? He's actually saying it's not your business to figure out when that's the Father's business. He also says it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father's put in his own authority. Here's what our business is, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And that really, these were just words to them at the time. That's okay, whatever that means, you know, they don't get. And you shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem. So you start in Jerusalem, then it shows, the way it's worded, it shows it's going to spread. Jerusalem, very micro there. Judea, a larger area. Samaria, yet a larger area. Then ultimately to the end of the earth. It's going to start very small, but it's going to grow teaching and preaching of the gospel. And the way that does is people boldly preach the truth. They've been praying for being able to preach the truth. They also have to pray that people would come to repentance. See, that's our part. The process continues on. We can't just say, well, we'll just issue the magazines and it's up to God to call them. Well, that's true. But it's up to us to ask God to stir up people. So we're praying for them. We don't even know who they are yet. So when they start coming in the door, you don't know, but we prayed you in here. So that's what this one of the takeaways for today is. So I hope that you'll remember that. The mission of the church has not changed. It's a much more modern world with all our little toys and gadgets, but in the end, it's still a spiritual matter, isn't it? It has to be spiritually called, spiritually understood, and spiritual ears and eyes. It has to be called by God and called of God. But we have to do our part in our added understanding and emphasis really should be that we pray and ask God to bring folks to repentance and that they'll be hungry for it and we'll seek where they can find that. All right? We'll have another congregational hymn and a closing prayer. See you next week.